Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio in real time via ZipWhip landline texting at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We're going to focus in this morning on the 11th annual community-wide Martin Luther King celebration. It is this Sunday at from 3 to 5 at James Monroe High School. Xavier Richardson back with us this morning. Xavier, good morning. Good to have you here.
Good morning and Happy New Year to you as well.
Boy, it is you and I, if this is the 11th annual, I think we've spoken all 11 years of this program. For many years, it was you, me, and Susan Spears, and now you've really taken over the organization of this. And this is a special program, always a special time.
Indeed, and it's always a special time to come here and to share with the community some of the exciting things that are going to be done during this important weekend celebration, and we really appreciate your support for the past 11 years.
Boy, this is when we were just saying this has really become something. And you've always included a lot of young people, and I guess for the reason that Dr. King spoke a lot and included young people in a lot of what he did, and so have you.
Well, and that's a very important part of the program, because we want to make sure that our young people know about the life and legacy of Dr. King. If we want the legacy to continue, we need to make sure that young people understand the significance of his role in bringing our country to grip with some of the tough challenges relative to civil rights. And when we talk about young people, we have activities for children 2 or 3, and we involve the participation of middle school and high school students, because it is, as you said, very important that they too get to know about the life and of Dr. King.
I think one of the things that I have learned the most from going to this has been over the years, some of the quotes that people will read of Dr. King's, and boy, the quotes that he wrote so long ago really fit today.
Exactly, they're timeless. I mean, that you're exactly right. And you know, as each time that I go through the quotes to assign to students and participants, some of those quotes have different meanings to me over the years, and certainly relative to some of the contemporary things that are happening here locally, across the country, and abroad. So his legacy will continue if we continue to look to the things that he espoused.
Well, in reading excerpts or you know, hearing excerpts of his speeches or from letters, some of it real personal, but you get a different perspective of Martin Luther King. It's more than just Martin Luther King, the civil rights leader.
Exactly, there's much more than that which the media projected, and it would take a scholar to really know all about Dr. King. And unfortunately, the scholar that we have present in our community, who is really the co-chair of this event, the Reverend Dr. Aaron Dovines, who's a pastor of Shallow Baptist Church Old Site, has been a scholar of Dr. King. And that's what helps to make our program even more special. Unfortunately, he's out of town with his daughter doing some exciting things in Florida. But otherwise, he would be here with us this morning, and he would be able to share even more about the significance of Dr. King and some of the things that many people don't know about him. He truly was a Renaissance man, not only in terms of his interest in things relative to politics, but also religion, music, philosophy. He was certainly a man who had many different spheres of influence as well. So.
Well, and I'm sure as you set up this program, Xavier, it's intentional that you want to introduce kids to some of this, but in all of us, the audience too, but especially kids, to make sure that they're grounded and understand who Martin Luther King was, and that this isn't just a day off.
Exactly, it really is a day on. It's a day on for us to reflect, to remember, and give reverence to him, but also to recommit ourselves to ensuring that the dream continues. And I think that in order for that again to really continue long beyond times when I'll be able to come and speak on the radio about it, that we need to engage our young people not only this program, but many other programs in the community seek to include the active engagement and participation of young people. So therefore, there'll be a number of different groups of students there. Different organizations in the community are bringing their young people to the program, particularly for that reason. And in the past, we've tried to mix up the entertainment to include something that young people could relate to. So we'll continue to do that this year as well, because you have to it's not about entertainment exclusively, but by the same token, in order to maintain the attention of young people for 2 hours, you do have to bring in something that would be of interest to them as well. And they do remember the program.
How did this all come about? Do you remember when you got together with whoever you got together sure. with and decided this was something that the community needed?
Yes. In the past, there have been some celebrations throughout the community by different organizations. And at one point, there was a group called FACRO, the Fredericksburg Area Community Relations Organization, and they had sponsored it. And then as that organization phased out, there was a development of a new program called MORE, a Multicultural Outreach Effort. And that was an organization which Susan Spears, the current president of the chamber, was the head of that organization. And that organization, under Susan's leadership, sought to find a way to celebrate the life and legacy of Dr. King. And we agreed that a program of this sort would be a great way to do it. And over the years, that program continued to exist. And when that organization phased out, I personally felt that even if I had to do it by myself, I was going to ensure that this program continued. And regardless of how much work and how much effort it would take, it was small in comparison to that which Dr. King, as far as every day and over his lifetime and the challenges that he went through to ensure that I and many others would have access to equal rights. So I really feel that I'm a beneficiary of the legacy of Dr. King and the efforts of many other civil rights leaders and many other people in this community. So therefore, whatever it takes, I was going to ensure that it was going to continue. So I partnered up with another group of people who I'll share with you a little later who had a similar interest, and that's why we continue to exist.
Yeah, no, it's going strong, because I remember one of the years when you came in and had talked about kind of taking this over, and it's going strong. One of the things that I think that's really special about this program is not only do you include the kids, or you include a lot of different community groups. Always in the audience, you have people like Mayor Davies or Johnny Johnson or Gay or different people who have a civil rights connection to this area, either through family or what they have been involved with themselves. And you just think you see them in the audience, and you see if it's important to them, it needs to be important to me.
Indeed. And this is not only a tribute to Dr. King, but it is a tribute to persons like Mayor Davies and Johnny Johnson, Gay Dagbilola, Marguerite Young, and many other icons in our community, and not only those who are living, but those in the past, because truly we stand on the shoulders of those who came before us, and this is a way to pay tribute to them as well, because in the end we have the singing of, when we do the collective singing of "We Shall Overcome" with all the participants of the program, we always invite those icons to join us on the stage as well.
And that is the way you end it, with all of you interlocking arms and singing "We Shall Overcome." I get goosebumps every time.
They must be contagious, because I have them too.
And it must be, for you to be up on the stage and looking out over that auditorium at JM and seeing everyone join along, it's got to be something.
Oh, it's a great, great feeling. And in spite of the hecticness that takes place as you prepare for it and all of the moving parts, it really is well worth it when you look out into the audience and you see the audience, their response and their engagement. And as you said, that closing, when you look and see people locking hands, of diverse backgrounds, different races, creeds, and colors, it's a wonderful sight. And I know that it would be something that Dr. King would be proud of.
And you'll want to be there. The 11th annual community-wide King Celebration is this Sunday, 3 to 5 at James Monroe High School. Xavier Richardson is here. More coming up on Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Shubin.
Xavier Richardson, our special guest this morning. We're talking about the 11th annual community-wide Martin Luther King Celebration. It is this Sunday from 3 to 5 at James Monroe High School. You mentioned, Xavier, a few minutes ago, one of the things that we often hear with the kind of the phrase that's used with the King holiday, it's not a day off, it's a day on. And I know when Ray Laura was on the Spotsylvania Board of Supervisors, he would always talk about the fact that he wished the kids would be in school on Martin Luther King Day, just because he said, I think that's what Dr. King would want, that too many of them are just hanging around and it's a day off.
Exactly. It's not a day for you to sleep in late. It's not a day to go out shopping. It's really a day when you should seek to find a way to do something that will make a significant difference in the lives of others. And for those who have to work on Mondays, we have this celebration on Sunday. So this is an opportunity to, if it's no more than to bring someone else from the community who otherwise would not have a chance to come because of transportation issues or whatever, bring them to the program. Everyone leaves there engaged and really excited and feel very much a part of the community after attending. And we certainly encourage persons who have moved to the community who may not know anyone else to do anything with on that holiday, or even know where the people are in the community, come to this event and you will see people, you will see diversity, you will see engagement, and you will see a lot of great entertainment, but also a lot of prolific thought from the stage as well. So it really is a day on, so not a day off.
One of the most significant moments for me last year was when City Councilman Chuck Fry got up and kind of shared his story. And as he talked, I remember thinking, here's somebody from the community, somebody who's grown up here, and he now stands up. He's standing at this celebration and talking as an elected official. And for somebody like you, that's got to be really exciting to see somebody who grew up in Mayfield is making a difference in the city and just his whole story.
Oh, definitely. It really does give me great pride. And I know that Dr. King would be proud, because Chuck, like I, grew up in Mayfield, similar backgrounds. And to see a young person who is, okay, Chuck, you're I guess I'm old enough to be your dad. I'm chuckling, no pun intended, because the last person I was talking to on the phone before I came into this radio interview was Chuck Fry, a guy who's really engaged. And to see a 36-year-old out there doing some of the things that Dr. King would want, that gives me hope that the dream will continue. And that's why we want to have Chuck back giving some remarks again this year. He really gets it. He really gets it. And I hope that he will inspire many of his peers to do it, to become more engaged, but also other young people can see the possibilities that exist. People use me as a role model, but quite frankly, I'm approaching 60. I'll be 60 this year, so it's sometimes a little tougher for young people to see me as a contemporary role model. But to have someone like Chuck Fry, who grew up in the same community that they've grown up in, out there really engaged and really caring about them, but also quite actively involved in the politics of this region, is really inspiring. It's something that's what Dr. King and others fought for. So yeah. Certainly tall Chuck really stands taller because he stands on the shoulders of those icons who came before us.
And he stands taller than all
He's
of us
taller
anyway.
Than all of us, right,
anyway.
Exactly.
But he... I did think there are likely students here in this, you know, listening and looking at him and saying, you know, I can do that. Maybe it's Fredericksburg City Council or Spotsylvania or staff or Board of Supervisors. Maybe it's something different, something higher.
Exactly. It does give hope. It does really give hope, because Chuck was not someone who was necessarily actively involved in the traditional politics, but he was working behind the scenes. He always had a vision, and he was always challenging the way things were. And then he felt that the best way to do it was to run himself. You know, it sounds like something I heard last night in the speech where the president said, if you don't like what you see, then go out and run yourself. And Chuck did that.
Well, and he last summer when there had just there it was a situation where there had been some shots fired
right.
near the Mayfield playground, and I remember the next week at a city council meeting. I mean, he was just outraged that there was just even the fact of shots fired, and he went and did sign. He put signs up all around Mayfield and all around the city. And it's very proactive on things that mean a lot, I think, to a lot of people.
Exactly. He doesn't just talk. He actually does like Dr. King. He sees something and he goes out and addresses it. For instance, he was quite instrumental in the gun turn-in program.
Yeah.
And that has been very successful in this community. And quite honestly, I've had to refer others and to intervene and to help to deliver a gun or two to him as well.
Yeah.
So that's what we're looking to do. We want more people to be inspired by what they hear on Sunday and to do what Dr. King has done, do what Chuck is doing, do what Reverend Davies has been doing, Johnny Johnson and many others, and Dr. Garnett and others, and those countless others whose faces we don't see who really have supported the NAACP over the years. We know that we'll have in our presence, one of the parent of Marcy Catlett, the mother of Marcy Catlett, who's the deputy superintendent of schools
yeah.
in Fredericksburg, and her sister Melvina Kay, who has served as the chair of the city schools, the school board. Their mother would be in attendance, and she marched, and she was locked up, and it's. I can always see her on the back row there smiling at what's going on, and we always try to get her to the stage, and we have gotten her sometimes to the stage to be a part of it because we get strength from seeing Ms. Rollins, who continues, we won't talk about her age, continues to drive taxi to this day.
I didn't know that.
And just had a tremendous, made tremendous sacrifices so her daughters could succeed at the level that they currently are succeeding.
Well, as close as we are to D.C. and all the things that happened in 1968 and a lot of the riots, that never happened here. And everyone tells stories and talks about how people like Mayor Davies, Johnny Johnson, and others made sure that that didn't happen.
And that's the beauty of this community. And I would say that the civil rights movement here was a civil movement. And that's important to share. And that's what Dr. King wanted. When others were rioting, as you said, in other cities, it's only natural that others, the young people who don't really understand the full implications of those actions, will see things that they will want to mimic. Fortunately, we didn't have the social media, or they were seeing even more. But
yeah.
when young people here who were frustrated with some things wanted to go out and do something, fortunately in this community, we had the communications lines open such that we were aware of it. And I say we, I wasn't even old enough, but the community was aware of it enough that the leaders, as the ones that you mentioned, and Dr. Garnett, who was the principal of schools, all came together and talked to these young people. And there were many others, I'm sure I can see Ms. Marguerite Young with her finger pointing to at these young people saying, no, you don't need to do it. This is the way you do it. And they listened. And that's the beauty of this community, that we were able to make those changes without doing it in an uncivil way.
And I want to get into when after the break here, I want to get in and have you talk about a little bit. Your story is always an inspiring one. And when you talk about the day that Dr. King was shot and what you were doing, I want to get into all of that. One of the things when you talk about just the education system, you talk about Marguerite Young and others, you always hear about the teachers before there was integration in the schools, but the teachers that you had really cared about you and made sure that the students stayed focused.
Indeed, they took tremendous pride in our efforts. And back then, having gone to Walker Grant Elementary School, grades 1 through 5 in a segregated setting, we didn't have the facilities necessarily comparable to those at Maury and Lafayette, the predominantly white schools. But We didn't have those resources, but we had the teachers who were caring and who encouraged and who would make the make do with the resources that we had. And, you know, I always give it to the analysis comparison of a computer where there's software and hardware. Mm-hmm. In that case, we didn't have the hardware. We didn't have the facilities. We didn't have the equipment. But we had the software in the form of the teachers, the administrators, the volunteers in the community who really took tremendous pride in you and encouraged you. And that's why students really succeeded. I look at the class of 1968, and there were about 18 or 19 students in there. And you look at the valedictorian was Wilfred Lucas, who went on to be one of the first African-American students to play basketball at American University, and then went on to Harvard Business School, and then became the president of one of the divisions of Baxter Travelnaut Labs, and now owns his own company. The salutatorian was the Honorable Pamela Bridgewater, who's been a U.S. ambassador to Benin, Ghana, Jamaica, and countless other places. And then the third student, I think it was a deputy secretary, worked in the Department of Education and the state of New Jersey, Terry Edwards, who has come back to this community as well to become engaged. So a lot of us were beneficiaries of that and now trying to find ways to give back. And so that's why there's a lot of love and allegiance to the Walker Grant High School, to the John J. Wright High School, yeah, those segregated institutions that still provided that encouragement and that support to do the things they're doing. Because even I, the schools that I've gone to, I remember my teachers talking about other African-American students who went there. My third grade teacher, whose brother was the first African-American student to play football at Princeton University, and that gave me hope of the possibilities. And then to hear that Wilfred Lucas and another student, Tony Sproul, from Fredericksburg, had gone on to Harvard Business School, that gave me the hope of the possibilities of doing the same thing. So those role models, whether they are active or passive, are important to our young people.
And it's important, and you've continued, and this program is one way that you're able to hold up the Chuck Fries and the others and give today's students that hope too.
Indeed, and too much is given, much is required, and that's my way of giving forward. And we always talk about giving back, but it's more important also to give forward, because when you give forward, you ensure that the next generation are beneficiaries of your efforts.
It's the 11th annual community-wide Martin Luther King celebration. It's 3 to 5 Sunday at James Monroe High School. Xavier Richardson is here. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about his story. Also, I want to talk to you a little bit about the president's speech last night. I remember 4 years ago, or 8 years ago, when you were here and getting ready to go up to some of the things. And so we'll touch on that. And then we'll talk a lot about just some of the things you can expect on Sunday at JM with the program. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's now 8:31.
Okay, listen, we got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Xavier Richardson with us this morning as we're talking about the 11th annual community-wide King Celebration this Sunday, 3 to 5. At James Monroe High School. Your story itself is we could do it, and we're going to do it sometime this summer. Have you come back and talk about your work with kids and just your whole story, Xavier? Dr. King had a huge impact on your life.
Oh, definitely. As I said before, I'm a beneficiary of the efforts of Dr. King and other civil rights advocates, and now I'm trying to be a benefactor of it, because certainly the things I've been able to do over the years are really the result of his efforts and many others. I was born and raised here in Fredericksburg, just across the river over in Mayfield, to two parents who were natives to this area. My mother was from Spotsylvania, my father was from Fredericksburg. Although we had limited means, we may have been poor in that respect, but we were rich in terms of the things that really make a difference in the lives of young people. And my parents always instilled in us the importance of education, because unfortunately my mother, as her class salutatorian at John J. Wright, back in the early 50s, was not able to go to college because there were not resources for her to go. And she could not go to Mary Washington at that time. And she aspired to be, she really wanted to be become a mathematician. And it's it really has been reflecting on that just this past weekend after going to see the movie Hidden Figures, which was about a group of African-American women who were mathematicians and engineers who made a significant difference in our space program. And I just reflect on the fact that that could have been my mother, but she did not have the opportunity yeah. because despite the fact that she was a class salutatorian, she could not go to college. But she, again, emphasized education, and my father was tremendously proud of my academic progress and was a strong encourager. But unfortunately, when my father attempted to become an entrepreneur, he worked at the FMC plant for many years and then decided he wanted an even better life for his family, so he attempted to become an entrepreneur. But unfortunately, in the 60s and early 70s, it was tough for an African-American to become an entrepreneur, and so he failed at those attempts, and as a result, turned to alcoholism. And then that had a tremendous impact on us relative to the finances and the yeah. ability to do some of those things that would have enabled me to be exposed to a lot of things. But fortunately, that village was there. We talk about it takes an entire village to train up a child. Well, that village was in place for me right there in Mayfield. My next door neighbor was a principal of a school in Caroline, and his wife, his wife was assistant principal at Hugh Mercer. And they invited me to go to a lot of things that otherwise would not have had the chance to, because their son was my age. And so I was exposed to a lot of things there. My third grade teacher, who I continue to talk to every day up to midnight, lived in Mayfield and still lived in Mayfield. And she ensured that I was exposed to things that I could not otherwise have the opportunity to see. There was Johnny Johnson, who was one of my teachers when I was in the fifth grade and later on in high school. And the persons in my church, Carol Hamm and people like that, who really made a difference in my life in terms of exposing me to things. And as a result of that, I've always felt that I've been blessed and highly favored in that respect, and again, believe that unto whom much is given, much is required. So I actually really had some additional support and encouragement to achieve. Now, I know that you expect your parents to expect that you do well and be proud of you, but when I would go to Harambe 360 Degrees, which was a gay Adagbalola and her father, Clarence Hart, were the head of that organization, I got a lot of encouragement. Yeah. Even after a play, I could not act, I could not sing, I could not dance, but they found something for me to do in terms of being the president of the organization. And I was in charge of the books, the financial books. I paid the rent and everything as a high school student. I got to do a lot of things that a high school student wouldn't get a chance to because they saw in me the potential. In fact, Mr. Todd wrote a play where my name was Harvard. He called me Harvard, never ever thinking that I would make it to Harvard. And they would boast about my achievements at the end of plays. And so I had a lot of encouragement and support system there. So I was encouraged to excel. And this community really supported me when I had the opportunity to go abroad, a little poor boy from Mayfield to go abroad. We needed $400 for it. Marguerite Young raised $1,900 for me back in 1975, and that's why right now I'm raising $10,000 for an effort for her as my way of paying her back. But that gave me a chance to see something I otherwise when I had the opportunity to do it. They encouraged me to apply to Princeton. They provided the resources. People in the community really rallied around me, and some people I didn't even know. But when Ms. Young raised that money, she gave me a list of the checks that she had received, and I went through that list. And on that list, there was one person that I will always remember, and that was Ms. Bernice Frensley. There was a check from her for $25. Ms. Frensley, at that time, was a cafeteria worker at Walker Grant. She made $15 a day. So in essence, she gave me 2 days of her net earnings for me to go to Brazil, and she had hardly been over the Falmouth Bridge. That's what motivates me even to this day to give back, knowing the sacrifices that people like Ms. Frenzy did. And it's not just the people like Dr. King who were on the national front. There are lots of Ms. Frenzies out there who are doing things to encourage students of color to excel. And that's what we're celebrating this weekend, too. Not just Dr. King, but the people who were influenced by him and who had likewise visions. And so as a result, I was able to go to Princeton, and there was always constant encouragement. So I went on to Harvard, got my MBA, and worked on Wall Street and did what most people do. And then the market crashed, and I picked up my toys and my family. We came back to Fredericksburg, and I have had no regrets whatsoever.
Yeah, you came back and you've remembered all those people. I mean, I hadn't heard a lot of that you just told. That's just fantastic.
Oh, yes. And there are many other stories of many other people out there. And I hope that, you know, I'm helping to write some stories like that, too. And I'm always surprised that kids are telling me some of the things, how I influenced them. And I don't even remember the things that had done. But, you know, I tell people all the time, kids may not always remember what you said, what you did, but they'll never forget how you made them feel. And now getting to the point at my age, I can't remember what I said or did either. But hopefully I can remember how I made them feel.
Well, I always tell the story, and this was now probably about 15 years ago, being at a track meet and seeing you and just kind of standing off the side and all these kids surrounding you. And with each of them, you looked them in the eye and called them by name and asked how. I mean, they were telling you about, you know, their time on the track. And I remember you saying to one, "Well, that's you know, you did great in the 400, but you know, how you doing in history? How's algebra going?"
Exactly, and I do try to meet them where they are to bring them to where they need to be. But so I'm interested in the things that are involved in the athletics and the music and all those things. But it all comes back to, you know, how are you doing academically? What are you doing in school? You know, nowadays they actually have an app on their phone, so they can't tell me, "Oh, I'm doing great." Okay, pull up the app. Let me see. Why do you have this low grade in this particular course?
Yeah.
And emphasize the importance of those grades and making short-term sacrifices for long-term gains. And the good thing is that they still think I'm pretty cool. They still enjoy meeting me. And the best reward is that when a kid will come by and say, "Hey, I need you to mentor this kid," or as they get a little older, "I feel like I'm being you when I talk to someone." So it does have an impact. And I'm sure Dr. King is probably looking down on us and saying, "It's feeling the same way. My efforts were not in vain. They did get the message, and some of them are out there making a difference."
I remember sitting with you 8 years ago, right before the inauguration, and it must have been something for you to see the president last night, knowing that, boy, eight years goes by pretty fast.
It really does. It's hard to believe it's been 8 years, and certainly it. Unfortunately, I didn't have a chance to watch it, but fortunately with CNN, I was able to. I shouldn't be advertising other radio stations, but with other radio stations, satellite radio stations, I was able to turn it on as I was coming back from some of the pre-opening events for the General Assembly, and to hear his speech and to hear the response of the community. I can't wait to have a chance to see the visual of it. It was so inspiring. And I think, and I thought about it as I was listening, I said, he really has given hope to a lot of people. And the important thing is that they remain hopeful. And I know that I can see a difference in some of the dreams of some of the young people with whom I've worked because of his success.
To be elected president, there's nothing higher.
Exactly. And the students come to my office, and I have a picture of President Obama and me, and we're shaking hands, and they're all saying, "How do you know the president?" I said, "No, how does the president know me?"
Exactly.
They said, "Well, how did you meet him?" I said, "Well, he came to Fredericksburg." And so, you know, I'm joking about, you know, he met me. But then I'll read an essay, and it'll say, "Oh, Mr. Richardson, it's so important that President Obama came to Fredericksburg to meet him." So you have to be careful what you say to young people because
they
latch onto every word.
they remember it. But it's fabulous that you have the story and remember and have the people that you can tie in, and you're doing for kids today what the Marguerite Youngs and the others did for you.
Truly, truly, truly. And then sometimes I say I try to rekindle that old Walker Grant spirit. And that Walker Grant spirit was to be totally engaged with the child and to make those extra sacrifices to ensure that they have what they have. Because back then they didn't even have band uniforms, and so the community rallied around and then had bake sales, et cetera, to make sure they had it, to have some of the equipment that they had, and to take them on trips and things to expose them. So it's my way of giving back to those who have helped me.
When we come back, we're going to get in. We're going to wrap it up this morning by talking about exactly what she can expect on Sunday, the 11th annual community-wide King celebration at JM from 3 to 5. This conversation has been terrific, but the program is even better, and you'll walk away. I think you'll walk away with a lot of hope, with a lot of understanding, and you'll learn a little bit about this community too. We'll do that with Xavier Richardson when we wrap it up on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Want to just feel better?
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Xavier Richardson here. Boy, this has been a great program today. The 11th annual community-wide King celebration this Sunday, 3 to 5 at James Monroe High School. We've kind of talked kind of vague at times about the program itself, but I'll let you describe what goes on, because like you say, there's some speaking, there's some dancing, there's music. It's a terrific time.
Yes, it's a great mix of things going on, and we try to mix it up, and so that you're not sitting there for a half an hour listening to people speak, but instead there's some entertainment dispersed in between. So some of the things, some of the groups there will be performing include in the area of music. Many of you are familiar with Eric Armstead. In the past, he's directed a choir, but this time it's going to be Eric Armstead and his sons. He has two phenomenal sons who are very talented, and one who's in high school, who's a great musician. So this is going to be their first opportunity to do something different. And so it's going to be Eric and his sons. That ought to be phenomenal. The Fredericksburg Gospel Fest Choir, which is a non-denominational choir composed of many different persons in the community, different races, cultural groups, and different denominations. They're going to be featured. And then the performing arts students of Lafayette Upper Elementary School, as you said, we're going to have them provide some entertainment as well with a couple of selections around Dr. King, because we do want to have the young people involved. In terms of dance, we're going to have the Agape Fellowship Ministries liturgical dancers. They're called the Daughters of Zion. And also the Anointed Sons Mime Ministry. They performed in the past. These are young people who are going to be doing some miming. We are, from this oratorical standpoint, we're going to have the Reverend Dr. Aaron Dobines, pastor, of Shallow Baptist Church Old Site, and he's a scholar on Dr. King's life and legacy. And he's going to be reciting one of Dr. King's speeches. And he has a powerful voice, and most of all, he probably knows more than anyone in the audience about the life of Dr. King.
So, he does really well when he does that, just because just the interpretive nature,
exactly.
He understands what he was trying to say.
He understands truly, and in fact, he's done a dissertation, a doctoral dissertation on the life of Dr. King. So that's going to be a phenomenal performance. And then we have reflections from a diverse group of people in the community. And what we're trying to do this year is to bring in some of some of our newer residents of the community, including Dr. Troy Pano, who is the president of UMW, Elisa Bernard, who's the new administrator at Mary Washington Hospital and vice president there, the Reverend Dr. Faye Gunn, who's a retired pastor of Alfred Street Baptist Church, Alexandria. She's someone who I've heard over the years, and now she lives in our community. She's a dynamic minister as well. Dr. Jean Carter, who is the CEO and executive director, retired CEO and executive director of ASCD, and former Norfolk City school superintendent and top superintendent of the country. He now lives in our community. He will be speaking as well. And Reverend Doug McCusker, who is the minister of the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Fredericksburg, and he's actively involved in our community as well. And then, of course, we're going to have the children's activities. There will be free children's activities in the atrium, and that's provided by the Multicultural Center at the University of Mary Washington. So so we have a different mix of persons, and then we're going to have some high school and middle school students as well who are going to be reciting some of Dr. King's quotes, and those quotes again continue to resonate. And even though there's some of the quotes that you've heard over the years, if you listen to them and reflect over the past year, it will have an even different meaning, as you said before.
Yeah, no, I never thought of that too, with just what we've encountered in the last year. I'm sure a lot of those quotes will have a totally different context than what we've had. Now it's from 3 to 5 on Sunday at James Monroe High School, and it really is something you'll never forget. I remember over the years, I remember a Spotsylvania school administrator just really challenging students to not accept anything but the best. Certain speakers just stand out, and it always is like that every year.
Indeed. And we want to also provide the opportunity at the end through a fellowship. We have free refreshments for people to get to know one another, reconnect with one another, and we hope that everyone will leave there knowing someone different and knowing someone's story. It's a great opportunity. This year, we're fortunate to have as our title sponsor Geico, and we also have the support of Claxton Logistics and CTI Real Estate, and also one of the Chick-fil-A promoters from up in Prince William County. Mike Lovett is also a sponsor, and just a lot of volunteer effort there as well. And we thank the city schools for allowing us to return to that venue because it is a great one.
You were telling me that there's a prayer breakfast too.
Yes. Fortunately, there are many other things going on in the community as well, particularly on that Monday. The Fredericksburg branch NAACP is having its annual prayer breakfast, and this year it's expanded, and it's going to be at the Walker Grant Middle School from 9 to 11. The keynote speaker will be the dynamic Linda Thomas, who's the state president of the NAACP, and she's a resident of Caroline County. Many people know her as the wife of Floyd Thomas, who's also the supervisor there. So come out there. We do have a limited number of tickets. It's $25. You can call 540-710-1349. Again, 710-1349. And the tickets are $25. And that's going to be an exciting time, too. And a good thing about that is that a number of persons have come, like Gay Dagbalola, Marcy Gadlett, and Lori Lewis, and other people in the community who grew up here in the community are now working this year with this event to expand it and make it even wider and even bigger. And certainly it's, I think, the beginning of a rejuvenation of the local Fredericksburg branch NAACP.
And again, that's the prayer breakfast is Monday morning, 9 to 11 at Walker Grant?
Walker Grant Middle School. And you have to get your tickets in advance, 710-1349.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's especially with a lot of people off, that may be something they want to go in that.
You have to eat,
so
you might as well get some good nourishment and prayer too.
Yeah, that's right. Again, the 11th annual community-wide Martin Luther King celebration is this Sunday. It's 3 to 5 at James Monroe High School, and it continues to grow. And we've only got just a few seconds left, but you partnered with someone. Was it last year?
Yes, exactly. And now this year is not only the Partnership for Academic Excellence, but also Sigma Pi Phi Fraternity, otherwise known as the Boulé. And the significance of that is that Dr. Martin Luther King was a member of the Boulé, and that's why this organization of outstanding men wanted to be one of the co-sponsors of this event. And many of the participants are also members of the Boulé. And we also have music. I forgot to mention that we have Donna Green, who will also be performing. She's a vocalist, and her husband is a member of the Boulé as well. So come on out and have a great time, and we look forward to meeting you and seeing those who have been supporting us over the years.
Xavier, thank you so much. Boy, great stuff, and we'll get together again soon and talk more about this. That's it for Town Talk. See you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.